obviously could not make it today. We have two members absent because of the funeral of Sergeant Davis down in Lebanon, and Representative Esquivel has had to go back to his district this afternoon in order to be there on time. Being short as we are, I would like to move all of the work sessions scheduled today and reschedule them for the next available revenue committee. So that should pretty much empty the room if all of you who are there for this long list of work session items. And we'll, with that, we will give you a chance to exit if you're not concerned, because the next thing we will be doing is going to the public hearing portion of our agenda. Thank you.
I'm clear.
Okay. Members of the committee, I appreciate you being here, and I'm going to open a public hearing on House Bill 2191A, which is one that we've heard before. We have more information. Lisbeth, would you please?
Yeah, Chairman Berger and committee members, with House Bill 2191A, we did hear it once, and I'll go through it again because it is a new labor rebate. And we have an amendment also. So basically what it's doing, it's creating a new rebate for people who invest $1 million or more in actual expenses on film, television shows, or commercial productions in Oregon. It details that the Oregon Film and Video Office will pay a rebate to a taxpayer who has been certified by their office and has made special withholding payments and has verified actual production expenses to support a claim for the labor rebate. So basically what it's doing is it's taking a portion of those withholding payments, and it's specifying that the labor rebate equal the amount withheld and deposited then into this Greenlight Oregon Labor Rebate Fund. It outlines then the requirements for the qualifying film productions. It allows the Oregon Office of Film and Video to deduct the amount of labor rebate costs incurred in order to verify the actual film production expenses, as well as the cost of an accountant to review or audit them. It provides that the Oregon Office of Film and Video rulemaking authority and the ability to pay rebate checks to those eligible taxpayers. If a taxpayer does not have a verifiable actual film production expenses in excess of $1 million, then the office may not pay out then a labor rebate. And the monies in the Greenlight Oregon Labor Rebate Fund may be used for purposes of the Oregon Office of Film and Video. It sunsets the labor rebate on January 1st, 2012. It establishes the Greenlight Oregon Labor Rebate Fund in the state treasury, and then interest that is earned on that fund is then retained in the fund, and all the monies in the fund are continuously appropriated now to the Economic and Community Development Department for the purpose of transferring funds to the requested by the Oregon Film and Video Office for the purpose of making these labor rebates. So initially, when we last heard this bill, the A.N. Gross had the monies going to the Oregon Office of Film and Video. But the problem with that is that this is not a state agency, so they cannot have their own fund in the state treasury. So there was discussion both in fiscal office as well as the treasury department about making sure that this fund is not created just for a non-state agency. So they have the money in the fund continuously appropriated to Economic Community Development Department, who supervises the contract which the Oregon Office of Film and Video has. So then so they become the go-between and then give the monies to the Oregon Film and Video Office for the purpose of making these labor rebates. Now, this is the mechanism. It's specifying then a special withholding rate. Okay. Now, as all you probably remember, you know, normally every employer is going to have to look at withholding tables and decide, given the wages of the different employees and how many exemptions they're going to have, you would then select a withholding rate based on the table the Department of Revenue creates. But what this is doing is specifying a special withholding rate at 6.2%. And again, this is just a number that I had to calculate, and it's based on the average wages and stuff of employers. But it's certain, I will say with certainty, it's not going to be anything that reflects each and every employee that works in this film and video production area. So this is just an average rate, and it's just put in there in order to make it so that you can begin to have these withholdings at this particular rate. And basically, it's beginning at 6.2%, but then in the future, it also specifies the Department of Revenue may prescribe by rule a different withholding rate. It doesn't have to be 6.2%. So, and then Department of Revenue's rule then takes precedence over the 6.2% withholding rate that's in the bill. So that's, you know, one area of ambiguity to any type of a revenue impact is you don't know exactly what Department of Revenue is going to make in a rule. So the 6.2% is set right now for 1 year, but then the Department of Revenue goes in there and they try to audit the returns of the employees that are earmarked, that are in the production and film video area, whose employer then has contributed the more than $1 million and stuff. So anyway, this is not, you know, most of you remember most tax rate, most like particular types of credits and stuff, they just have a flat rate. You know, we were looking at, you know, the earned income tax credit yesterday, it's 5% of the federal, you know. So you usually have a flat rate, but this is one that is going to be 6.2%, and then it could change depending on Department of Revenue kind of audits. And then it's authorizing the Department of Revenue to deposit monies into a suspense account that are withheld and paid to the department, and that equals the amount reported to the department by the Oregon Film and Video Office. And then it allows the Department of Revenue up to 0.5% of the amounts deposited into the suspense account to cover their administrative costs. It excludes the labor rebate from Oregon taxable income, and then it is effective 90 days after the end of the legislative session. So you've already seen the A3, which dealt basically with some additional language to reduce the fiscal for the Department of Revenue. That's what the A3 was just basically saying the Office of Film and Video would be the one who takes all the information about the amount of compensation paid to each one of these people, the Social Security numbers, and then the Department of Revenue will be easier for them to match their tax returns. But then even as they match their tax returns, in order to verify whether the 6.2% of the compensation is reasonable, they're still going to have to look at some other issues because it's, you know, it could be one person in a family or, say, a joint return which has this special withholding rate. And then to have to determine whether or not that 6.2% is sufficient and reasonable to estimate the actual withholdings that would have been held under our personal income tax system, then that would take a little bit more clarification because you'd have two different people's income all on one tax return. So so basically that's what this was doing is kind of the A3 was giving some additional language to the Department of Revenue and eliminating some of their work that they would have to do in connection with auditing these accounts. And then with the A4, this was just specifying that special withholding rate of 6.2% of the compensation paid. And then the A5 amendment, which you just is the new one today, this is taking out the Oregon Film and Office of Film and Video as the agency that would get the funds continuously appropriated to them and adding in the Economic Community Development Department being the agency that handles the funds and then gives it to the Oregon Film and Video Office to pay the labor rebates. So,
questions of Elizabeth?
Question?
Yes.
What about Oregon companies that may be doing this now in terms of making commercials and just, you know, on a regular basis?
Well, Chairman Berger and Representative Haas, that this is, makes no distinctions. It's not like it has to be a new company or anything here in Oregon, but they do would have to contribute more than $1 million in investments here in Oregon. So if they made more than $1 million in production costs for their commercials, then they would get it.
Yeah, if I could, is that, I mean, if someone will not likely spend $1 million to make one commercial
right.
one time, but
right.
over the course of 6 months or a year, they could easily
That's right.
get up to that. So how is it, does that have to be done by rule to distinguish what commences a commercial production?
Well, yeah, I mean, I think the Department of Revenue would probably come up with some, you know, definitions or clarifications, but, I mean, that was even part of my analysis, and that's some of the information I got from the Office of Film and Video as far as the actual cost of different productions. But, you know, the way the bill is written, just by identifying one company, one employer, you know, they will track how many different productions they've had in the state over the course of the year and whether or not they hit that $1 million threshold. That's what the Office of Film and Video would be doing in order to first determine whether or not they've met that $1 million threshold.
Further questions, Elizabeth?
And I guess I didn't say the revenue impact, but we heard it last time, but just so everyone's clear, this is a reduction in personal income taxes, but then it's an increase then in this other fund revenue, which is then this Greenlight Oregon Labor Rebate Fund. So basically, again, it's the employee, it's the wages, the special withholding rate of the employees that are working on these productions that then are meeting this $1 million as far as an investment amount in the state. So then that's what you're seeing here. And I estimated two full feature film productions, six independent films, and two television movies, and 10 commercials per biennium is what was, that's what the Office of the Office of Film and Video had given me as kind of averages for a given year. So if you would have more than that, then obviously the general fund losses grow, and then the other funds revenue grows for the rebates. But if there's less production, then obviously you don't have as much.
Thank you. Veronica Renard and Howard Levine have both come up together since both of you have signed up. And Veronica, if you...
Madam Chair, members of the committee, it's good to see you again. Thank you for continued consideration of our bill. I do want to make a couple of points of clarification. For the record, I'm Veronica Reinert. I am the Executive Director of the Oregon Film and Video Office. And just kind of give a little update to the information that I have given to you in the past. One point of clarification, we are actually a semi-independent state agency. So we are a state agency, but the statute that created our office did not authorize us to have a treasury account. We actually have our money in a regular bank, and we are then a pass-through from OECD's budget. Also, the Department of Revenue potential adjustments in the future that they could do by administrative rule, that is in the bill so that they have the ability to look at what actual taxes paid have been over time and make sure that the withholding rate that we are using accurately reflects the average taxes that are paid so that this continues to be a net zero impact on the general fund. So the point of that is really to try to keep things accurate as time goes on. I have already given you the basic overview, I think, of our industry, of its importance to the state for economic development, for job creation, for bringing new money into the economy, and also the increasingly competitive market that we are now operating in. So I will just reiterate that this program is critical to keeping Oregon at all competitive for this industry. I just returned from the annual Locations Trade Show in Los Angeles, and I can tell you that the busy booths there were the ones that were from states and countries who had incentive programs. Louisiana didn't even bother to decorate their booth. They stuck a table out, they put their name up, they put their incentive information out, and they lined them up. So it really is table stakes to be on the list of places considered for productions anymore. The list of states doing incentives is getting longer as other legislatures are acting on similar proposals, Maryland being the most recent to pass a rebate program that will offer up to $2 million back per production done in their state. So that means that now that at least 16 other states have very aggressive incentive programs. I think that Lizbeth went through pretty well the what the newest amendment does, which is why the chair wanted to have another hearing on this. I'd be happy to answer any questions on that. I also have with me Howard Levine from the governor's office, who would like to say a few words. And also, Bill, are you speaking? And Bill Cross with the Oregon Association of Convention and Visitors Bureaus as well.
Thank you. Don't see any burning questions. Howard, do you want to continue?
Thank you very much. Chairman Berger, members of the committee, my name is Howard Levine. I'm Governor Kulongoski's policy advisor for the Office of Film and Video. I didn't testify at your previous hearing, so I wanted to come down today just to emphasize the governor's very strong support for HB 2191, which is one of the governor's office bills. The governor believes that increasing film and television production is critical to strengthening our economy and to creating family wage jobs. As you've heard from other people, this is a very clean industry. It's a high wage industry, and it's certainly an industry that has the potential to bring in millions of dollars in economic activity for Oregon. But as Veronica has noted, Oregon is losing the competition for this lucrative business because we simply right now do not have an adequate incentive program. By rebating a portion of the withholding taxes on crew salaries for film shot in Oregon, HB 2191, as amended, will give Oregon a seat at the table that right now we don't have. The governor has a long record of supporting this industry. Last session, you passed and the governor signed a production investment fund. He has signed off on several requests for strategic reserve money for individual films, and he has traveled actually to Hollywood and talked to production executives from major film studios about coming to Oregon. So this really means a lot to him. But to be successful, we really need the complete Greenlight Oregon package. There's the vendor rebate portion of it, which is the 10% on goods and services, which does not require legislation. And then there is HB 2191. So to conclude, simply by saying that the governor thinks this is the right bill for Oregon and urges it to pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Levine. Questions? Representative?
It's to either one of you, but I noticed that the bill says qualifying film production does not include the newscast or the news business. I'm just wondering about documentaries. How do you see that playing in? We've talked about this before, and sometimes the TV stations do documentaries.
I would have to look at the language again specifically, but to my memory, if a documentary spent more than $1 million, then they would qualify for this. In our experience with the documentaries that have been done in Oregon to date, I don't think, especially from the local television stations, they generally don't have budgets that are that large. We would certainly welcome them to have budgets that large. If Ken Burns wants to come and shoot an entire documentary in Oregon on something, I would welcome that.
Yeah, I would think it, certainly if it's a documentary for a theatrical release, I think that would be clearly within the kind of statute if they spent $1 million. If it was something less than that that a local television station was doing, then probably not. I'd actually like to emphasize one other thing, too, following up on what Veronica said about Department of Revenue's ability to change the 6.2%. I mean, as she said, the point was to be able to make sure the bill stays revenue neutral down the road. And also, as you know, there's a sunset provision in this bill, so it's all going to be looked at again in 2012. Okay. It's not in perpetuity.
Bill Cross, would you like to come forward and talk about conventions and visitors?
Madam Chair, committee members, I'm here on behalf of the Oregon Association of Convention and Visitor Bureaus, and I did submit earlier written testimony, but just wanted to reemphasize our support for this legislation. When film productions are they create significant economic infusion in local communities, and they work with the CVBs on marketing those areas. And so for us, it's a win-win. So whatever can be done to help keep this industry competitive, or our ability to be competitive to attract this industry, we're very supportive of.
Questions for Bill? Any further comments or questions? Thank you very much for coming.
Thank you.
No one else jumping forward. I'm going to close this public hearing on House Bill 2191 and adjourn today's House Revenue Committee meeting for today.